Because what we're going to be talking about is going to make you even warmer. Just a little bit. This morning, of course, we had an introduction last Sunday morning. And that introduction was on our stewardship. And our stewardship, our ability to be able to fulfill a commitment that God has charged us with. And a responsibility that we have to Him in not only following, I don't know about you, but we're going to be talking about discipleship a little bit more as the year goes on. And, you know, there's a lot of days that I forget to deny myself. There's a lot of days that I forget to pick up my cross when I leave my house in the morning time. There's a lot of days that I lead instead of follow. And I find myself in a lot of chaos. And I realize that it's very clear, very simple, very cut and dry. If I want to have a life that is going to bring me joy and happiness, no matter where the road may lead, it'll be because I made a decision to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that I must follow Him and not leave. It means that I must deny myself and give my way to His will. And I must be ready to pick up that cross and follow Him. And because of that, we can be successful. It is my heart's desire as we continue to minister in this church that you all have the most richest life in Christ. That you are able to enjoy this life and this brief time we have here together. Like a flower, like the air, it vanishes away. Here today, gone tomorrow. My wife told me last night, she said, I can't believe that just last Sunday, and it seemed like yesterday, it's gone by so quickly. And I know as we age and as days go by, they rapidly increase. And they just go by so fast. And I realize today that you all are here today. And I trust today that you have come ready to worship our God. And in return of your worship to Him, shall you be blessed from the throne of grace. Today we look at this first part. I don't want to cover tithing. Why do I want to do that one first? Is it so we can get ahead up on things? No. I just wouldn't want to end this month of stewardship talking about money. That's not my thing. I've had a tough time with this message all week long. I said, God, I would love to be able to do this one first if you'd let me. He said, okay. And I might be because I've been whipped so tough this week. I don't like talking about money. I would have never, look, more power to salesmen. I think that's great. But I can't be one. I may try to sell the Word of God in a sense. People don't like to use that terminology. But you're trying to sell what we have here to people to let them know what we've got. Some people frown on that. Some people smile on that. But some people blend it together. But I would have never been a good salesman, I don't think. A good like going to a car dealership. If you're one today, I love you. But I don't like you. Because I have a tough time when I get there. People beat me around and all that. Look here, I'll make my mind up when I get ready. Once you offer me the information that is at hand, leave me be. I know where you're at because you're just right over there. I can see you. But give me a little space here. This is my space, you know. This is personal to me. And truth be known, if you don't bug me so bad, I may be more apt to buy something from, you know. But I've thought about it. I said, somebody's got to do it. But I'm thank God today He didn't call me to be one because I don't like pushing things on people. I really don't. Some days I walk away from service. I say, Lord, that was pretty personal, you know. But I always constantly reminded myself, you don't want to hear my opinion. What you've come for today is God's opinion and the Word of God. My opinion is not going to change your life. And if it has, it should. What should change your life is the Word of God and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that alone will only give you joyness and true happiness in your life. And that is what I hope that you will have if you're not already enjoying that happiness. Man, I really want you to. I want you to be happy people in the Lord. Now, I want to read this to you. Today's title to our sermon is a blessing and a curse. Wow, you know, when I read that, I said, whoa. I said, no, I like a blessing or a curse. But in essence, that's what the Lord is trying to say here in Deuteronomy 11 and 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. A blessing and a curse. Today we are presented with still the Word of God. And today this service, a blessing and a curse. Let us pray this morning together. Father, yet again we come to you in prayer, thanking you for this opportunity. Lord, our hearts are here today, O God, in thanksgiving that you have allowed us to breathe breath of another day that you have created. Lord, as you are with us today in our presence, Lord, I ask, O God, I don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit to be here. God, you've already given him to us. Lord, I just ask you today, Lord, that through your power and through your presence, that you may be felt in this congregation today, that these people, Lord, that each and every one of us, including myself, God, we would be able to see your hand move. Lord, the availability, Lord, and the ability that you have to change and alter lives, this is amazing, to say the least. Lord, you never cease to amaze me in how great thou art. And Lord, I ask today, Lord, as we are here in service to you, O God, that it would be acceptable unto you. Lord, that as we have come to worship the King of Kings, Lord, that today our hearts would be forever changed and we would be just another step closer to thy will. For it is in the precious name of Jesus Christ I ask. Amen. Now turn with me to the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi. And find chapter 3. I have mentioned the word tithe. That's very personal. And this, I have mentioned to you, tithing, but you know, you wouldn't believe, but there are a lot of us that may not know what exactly that means or what we are supposed to do with it. So very quickly this morning, I'm going to bring some verses from the Word of God. But before I do, tithing is based on a percentage. But let me read something to you this morning concerning percentage. Once a boy was rowing an old-timer across a wide river. The old-timer picked a floating leaf up from the water, studied it for a moment. Then he asked the boy if he knew anything about biology. No, I don't, the boy replied. The old-timer said, son, you have missed 25% of your life. As they rowed on, the old-timer took a rock from the bottom of the boat. He turned it in his hand, studying its coloration, and asked the boy, son, do you know anything about geology? The boy sheepishly replied, no, I don't, sir. The old-timer said, son, you have missed 50% of your life. Twilight was approaching, and the old-timer gazed raptly at the North Star that had begun to twinkle. After a while, he asked the boy, son, do you know anything about astronomy? The boy's head bowed and brow furrowed and admitted, no, I don't, sir. The old-timer scolded him. Son, you have missed 75% of your life. Just then, the boy noticed a huge dam upstream was beginning to crumble. The torrents of water were pouring through the break. Quickly, he turned to the old-timer and shouted, sir, do you know how to swim? The old-timer replied, no. The boy shouted back to him. He said, you just lost 100% of your life. Percentages. A lot of us base our income and all that we do on percentages. Our church has an outwardly giving based on percentage. That sum is accumulated from a variety of things. But in whole, you have 100%. I've mentioned you before, I know it's a saying, but you cannot give 110% unless you borrow 10% from somebody else. Though it is a good saying. But all you've got is 100% of you. Nothing more, nothing less. But all that God has given us, I'm going to tell you, if you really thought about it this morning and it hit you, reality sunk in, I believe tears would be shed in this sense. I believe that hearts would be humbled and we would bow before the one who has made it possible for us. What is a tithe? Well, 10% of what you are given, the Bible records. But I want to give you a few questions here, and then I want to answer those questions with Scripture. Remember, it is not my opinion that will change your heart. It is the opinion and the acceptance of God. Some questions that I have heard in days gone by, and even in reading and study. Listen to these questions. See if they maybe apply to you this morning. Can I purchase things with my tithe? I'll give you an example. People say, well, I'm tithing. But can I purchase something with my tithe besides giving it to the Lord? The question. Do I pay on my income or do I pay on my bring home? Many people have a debate, question, and that's what we're not here to do today is debate or argue. But it is to find out what God wants. And remember, if you have any questions or arguments about today's sermon, take it up with him. He's my boss. I work for him. But would you tithe on your income, on what you make, on your salary? Or do you tithe after the damage has been done from Uncle Sam? Just a question. Can I send my tithes to another church besides the one I attend? Just a question. If I don't give, will it hurt anyone besides me? Can I designate my tithes? Can I determine where my tithes go? Has God instilled in me the will and the knowledge, the insight of where my tithes should go? Just a question. Do I tithe if I can't pay my light bill? That's probably the most common question. Do I have to tithe? What is my reward or blessing for tithing? Now, I have an answer for every one of these questions. But that would be my opinion. Let's go to the Word of God. I want to read. If you have that pen with you today, you thought it was just for tithing. You are wrong. It's to write down and record this scripture. Because I do not want you to try to turn to every one of these because I'm going to be reading them all very quick, fast, and in a hurry. So listen to these this morning. And maybe through this, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart and help you answer some of these questions. In Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Not of some, not of fragments, not after leftovers. But the Bible says, of all. And Jacob awaked. Now this comes from Genesis 28. 16 through 22. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. You remember Jacob's ladder, the story. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and will keep me in this day that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So the 10% has been declared. A tenth. There again he said, if he will give me, I will surely give the tenth unto God. Now I'll give you a quick example. I've had some say, well, look, preacher, God told me that I could take my 10% this week. And this is the way he was going to bless me. I could get those new tires on my car I didn't need. So God told me to bypass the church and go ahead and do that. And that was his way of taking care of me because I was going to pay my tithes and didn't do it. Well, if we tried to sort out everybody's opinions and thoughts today, that next Sunday I was talking about, we'd still be here in the same clothes, in the same presence, in the same crowd. But today, that's what God talks to our heart. And all the tithe of the land, this is from Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So how powerful is it? Should we tithe? God says it's holy to Him. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, this is from Chronicles 31, verses 5 and 6. And as soon as the commandments came abroad, the children of Israel brought in the abundance of what? The first fruits of corn. If you've heard the expression off the top, we need to do this first. It says that they paid and give the first fruits. That's where you get off the top. Of corn, wine, oil, and honey. And of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all the things that brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heap. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6. But unto this place which the Lord your God shall choose. Wait a minute now, God's choosing where it should go. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose, out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto the habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and of your vows, and of the freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herd, and of your flocks. We're almost done. Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed. Understand that seed and flock, you've got to remember, in these days, there was a lot of exchanging of money. Because there's farmers in this crowd. You've got granddaddies and grandmamas that farm. They traded maybe some livestock for some sugar or some flour. That's what he's talking about. There's a lot of feed here, a lot of farming, a lot of livestock. But all that they were given, in everything that they had, a tenth of that increase was to go to God. Now, and thou shalt eat thereof before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to the place his name there, the tithe of the corn, the wine, all thy oil, and all the firstlings of herds, and of all the flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. But now, how should I give? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Friend, I want to just pause there just for a moment. If what you do for God is because you've got to, you shouldn't do it. What you do for God is just a schedule that you're keeping, we need to reevaluate. But see, because I've caught myself saying this, and I've changed it. God's helped me change it. And He's the only way. But I've caught myself telling my wife, I said, well, I got to go up to the hospital and visit so-and-so. I don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. But you go because you want to. because you love God Almighty and it is your heart's desire to please Him. So if we could ever get out of the expression or the condition of a heart to where we've got to do it, or honey, I've got to write my tithes. Honey, we've got to do this. No, you don't have to do anything, friend. But you do it. I'm going to do this because I love it. The impression of when we hand out offering plates. I'm telling you, this hit me right between the eyes. See, my expectations during the offering is to, how sweet is Miss Gail going to play on the piano? Oh, it's sweet. She does a wonderful job. But see, when I sit where you're sitting during that time, and these gentlemen come up here as servants of God, and they grab a plate, and they pass it. There's a lot of people who won't come to church today. I've talked to them. They're right here in the community. All that church wants is my money. Friend, you know, it's not just this church. It's every church. But my thing is, one excuse is as good as the other. And friend, I'll tell you, look, if it ever gets, you know what's done that? There's a lot of organizations out there that call themselves churches, and they have heard the name of God. And they'll tell you, they'll heal you, and they'll pray for you if you send them a little bit of money. I'm going to tell you what, friend. I'm no judge. But I'll tell you, I would not want to be in their shoes come Jesus time. Somebody's going to pay a price. For all the people they have manipulated, listen to me, our seniors, I know you know better, but don't ever do that. There's so many people out here, he said, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, goes down to church and in the community, and he said, bro, my wife just got right hoodooed right into that. She really needed some prayer, and she was a shut-in, and she needed some help, so she sent him some money. Friend, don't ever do that. Unless God's put a burden in your heart to help a cause, don't you do that because somebody's asked you to. You don't have to do that, nor are you expected to do that. Only led of God do you do anything like that. Don't get caught up in those traps. But I see here where a lot of people have made a commitment. We talked about the light bill for a minute. And they come back and said, Preacher, I give that money and I come up short on my light bill. God did not bless. And you always have to ask this question. See, I don't know your heart. But how did you give it? Because if you give it grudgefully, it do not count. If you're paying your tithes and being a steward of God in that aspect, if you give it because you've got to, because it's expected of you, and you give it with a heart that says, boy, I could be doing this with that money instead of doing this with that money, you give it grudgefully and it does not count. You will not be blessed because of that. You did not give it with a cheerful heart that God loves. So don't give it. Now you say, Preacher, are you crazy? Some people are here saying, Preacher, some of these people go quit giving. Listen, if you give it grudgefully, we'll be better off than if you don't give it. Because I know my God. And my God will bless, and He ain't brought us to this point to leave us here and abandon ship. He's going to walk with us, and He's going to talk with us every step of the way. Will I be able to explain how He takes care of things? No, but I don't want to. Man, I just want to be alone. I will be where God's at. So when that plate comes by me, I'm going to say, this is worship. This is a way that I actually am able to worship God and give back to Him. If we're sitting there with the attitude, there goes that money, then you lost your blessing. And please, by all means, go buy something at Walmart for the preacher. And make it count because it didn't do any good for the glory of God. I'm talking about Brother Mike. Now, the last verse that I want you to see here is this. A lot of people say, well, if I don't give, remember the question? If I don't give, will it hurt anybody else? Little to my surprise. And I perceived in Nehemiah 13:10, and I perceived the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers, the Levites being the priests, those who were managing and taking care of the flock, the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field.
Now watch this. No, God does not need your money. He can accomplish the task. God don't need you to get the job done. Let me give you an example. If I just walk up out of here, throw my hands up and quit and say, you forget that. That's just too much pressure and responsibility. I'm walking out. And I just quit preaching. If God's working in this church, and I know He is, He'll take care of this pulpit. He'll get somebody in here to get the job done. Because I am replaceable. And boy, if I ever get to the point I feel like I'm not, I need to get a reality check. Because I'll tell you, friend, God will bring glory and honor to His kingdom with you or without you. Now, it is His heart's desire to work through you. He loves you. He wants you to be a part of the family. But He will not force you. And I love my God. I can do what I want to do. I have that free will about me. But I know that it has been given because of the grace and the mercies of God. But I see here in Nehemiah that the priests and the singers, those who were working in the church, the obligation of the church is to take care of them, the tithes that were coming in. Guess what was happening? Tobiah and the crowd there were using the money for entertainment. And I'll tell you, my dear friend, I love God and I love to see people come in this church. But if we ever cross a line, we feel like we got to use the money of God for entertainment. We will stunt our growth and our worship in God. And I want no part of that. These gentlemen were taking this money that was coming in and they were using it for the entertainment of themselves. And because of that, it drove the priests, it drove the singers, those who they had an obligation by God to take care of. They fled to the fields, grabbed the plows, and went to work to be able to feed themselves and their family. And it was all because of the tithing for the church of God got misconstrued out of hand, and it went to entertainment opposed to the work of God and worship. You want to know what would happen next Sunday if you said, you know what? I ain't giving no more money to God at that church. You want to know what could happen? These doors could shut down. You say, yeah, but if God did it, yeah. But if all of us turn our back on God and deliberately disobey Him, and He's not welcome, He's a gentleman. He's not going to stay where He's not included. And the dreams that we've been dreaming and the expectations that we have would diminish. And this place would become a corn barn. God is depending on you and I to do nothing more than what's right. That's it. Just to do what's right. And if we'll do that in return, He'll bless. Now, how would He bless? You see Malachi 3, look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Boy, that's tough. I guess when you start looking at the Word of God in a way that, will a man rob God? Well, that's pretty tough, isn't it, guy? How would, you know, when I look at that and I first read that passage, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking that perhaps, what if God had a money bag on His side? And I just kept running up there and just grabbing out of that money bag and taking what was His. That's one way of looking at it. But we know that's not the case. Exactly. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. They have a curse. In verse 8, there's a crime. He says, you have stole from me. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. If you rob, you do what? You steal. Now, many of us will sit here today and say, I'm not robbing from God. As cut and dry as I could possibly put this for you, because you don't know what my responsibility is today. It's not to whip you.
It's not to talk bad about you, but it is confidently and compassionately bring the Word of God to your knowledge so that you can be happy living for the Lord exactly the way He would have you. That's my job. That's my job today. Let it the Holy Spirit of God that you, for your information, you know what can happen with and what can happen without this aspect in your life. Now, look what they were robbing in the second part of verse 8. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and in offering. Now we know that offerings, of course, is what's that above and beyond the tithe, the 10%. So many people today, their lives have been ruined. And it's because even if they paid their tithe, like you remember the farmer? God blessed him. Boy, He gave him an increase. And what did he do? Instead of going down and giving back to the Lord what God had so generously given him, you know what he began to do? He began to look and he said, boy, I want to talk. You know, I deserve it. He said, I'm going to take my barns down and I'm going to build bigger ones to hold the increase. But you know where the increase should have went? To God. I'm not telling you today to live on bare necessities and take that and just nick dime it. That's not what I'm saying. God doesn't want you to do that. But as God blesses you and He gives to you, live. But please, a lot of time we live beyond our means and we get in a world of hurt, in a world of trouble. But mathematically, numerically, I'm telling you, friend, you sit here today and you say, I can't do it. But you can't afford not to do. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather light a candle in OCPNL than O God. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Preach you out of your mind. You ain't going to light no candle and get your wife to fan you and feed you grapes. Yes, I will. If that's what God wants us to do. Amen, honey? To do what's right. But look at verse 10. We see the crime. We see the curse. But in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. In verse 10, he brings a challenge. I like a challenge. Well, I don't do good unless I'm challenged. You got to make me rise to the occasion. I told a guy one day he was stumping me on the back of the head. Boy, I hate that. I can't stand wet willies. You know what boy, I hate that. I don't like nobody to stump me on the back of my ears. They've grown big by themselves. You stop stumping them, making them swell. But finally, that thing went on for a while. And I had my belly full of it. And I turned around, and now this is before I was a preacher. I turned around, I didn't say anything bad, but I said, look, pal, you're this close to getting my undivided attention. And I want to ask you one question before you get there. He said, what's that? I said, what you going to do when I give you all my attention? I said, because you're going to have a fight on your hands. And boy, he didn't like that. But he quit something. Now, was that the right thing to do? No. No. Do as I say, not as I do. You've heard that before, right? But listen, undivided attention to give ourselves completely. No man has ever lost giving his whole heart to God, but nor has any man gained by giving it only half. Never. Never. A challenge. I'm challenged today to bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? It's the church. The house of God. That there may be meat in mine house, he says. And prove me now herewith, he says. Listen to that. He says, try me. And I'll show you. I dare you today. I double D dog dare you today to tithe. I dare you. Try. Don't take my word for it. Or will this work better? Don't you tithe. You better not do it. I tell my kids that and then they do what I want them to do. Reverse psychology. But I ask you today, he says, try it. Now watch this. We've seen the crime. We see the curse. We see a challenge. But before our God closes out verse 10, he says, I will bring you a caretaker. Someone who will look over you and take care of what you have. The last part of verse 10. I don't know about you, but I do well off of incentive. Boy, you tell me I'm going to get something? Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You tell me I'm going to get some M&M's with nuts in them. But look here, I'm all ears, whether you thump them or not. I'm ready. You give me some incentive. And I love our God. Our God doesn't just say, go on and do that, and I'll leave you. I'm going to stay up here in heaven. And you just do what you can do, and we'll see how you do at the end of 70, 80 years. That's not the way our God works. But nor are we in any position to ever back our God into a corner and take His word and put it under His nose and said, see here, you said you would do this or do that. That's wrong, church. Our God is not to be treated that way, but so many times He does. Pushed into a corner. Or we try it and shove His word under His nose, telling Him what He's supposed to be doing. But we see here, in verse 10, what did he do? With all this going on, he said, and if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Wow. Whoa. Hello. You mean he's, watch this. Listen, God is what he is. He told everybody throughout the Word of God, he will not change. I cannot change. I will not change. I can't change. But he said that I will open up the windows of heaven. See, I'm thinking about going in the gates one day. But you mean to tell me in the meanwhile he'll open up the windows? And he's going to pour out some blessing on me? Lord, start lifting them because I'm ready. And he pulls the windows of heaven up and he just pours out the blessing. Yeah, I can stop right there. Because if that ain't enough to tithe, I don't know that you ever will. Woo! That's good stuff! He's going to open the windows and he's going to pour it down upon me, his servant, who deserve. I don't deserve that. He shouldn't even have to open the windows for me to tithe. But now, do I tithe because he's going to open the windows? If I do, I'm doing it for the wrong reason. This is just a privilege, a reward, a fringe benefit, if you please. For doing what's right. But does it stop there? No, our God's gooder than that. Look in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know what he's talking about here? Caterpillars was an example that was given here. Because of your crops and all the pests. How many of you have ever planted a little garden? There's some little pests out there. And you're trying to dump some seven dust on them or something. And they're eating up your crops and they're pests. I don't want you to think because those pests showed up, you weren't paying your tithes right. But he said here, if you will come back to me, I will not only open up the windows of heaven on you, but I will prevent the devourer from coming into your life and eating up your crops. Now what can that mean? How many of you said, man, I just need a leg up. Man, if I can just catch a break, I can go with it. Boy, how many times you get out there and you got two flats and one spare? Boy, you get out there and the insurance company didn't cover near as much money as you thought they were on that emergency room visit for little Ella Claire. Oh, that was personal. But you know what I'm talking about. Things happen. And you feel like what? You're crashed. Well, guess what? In many cases, in all cases of those who do not tithe, there's a crash. You need to know today before you leave this place that there is a curse upon you if you do not tithe. Oh, now you shoving it down my throat, brother. No, just read Malachi verses 8 through 12. There's a curse. And those curses, look, God can work things out for you. How many of you are like me if you walked into a field and the probability of you winning something out there, if there weren't but two, I've always come in third place and there were only two people running the race. You go out there and you say it's between you and him for $1 million. You and him. And I just say, go ahead and give it to him because I'm not going to get it. It just feels that way. But there's so many times we try and we want to do. But you got to ask yourself this question. Are you tithing? Why are you tithing? How much are you tithing? Do you want to get, listen, God's going to bless you. Do you want a gross blessing or you want a net growth? You want a net blessing? God said He's going to bless you. Question is, how much do you want to be blessed? That's up to you today. All I can tell you is He said, my God said that He's going to roll the windows up of heaven. And I bet you He don't even have to unlatch them. I bet they don't get stuck. He just rolls them up and bless, bless, bless. But how about that room there in heaven that's full of these blessings, that's going to be full of those blessings even when we get there? Because we didn't take advantage of the opportunity and the promises of God. The devourer is held back. We have protection. But look on in the last part of verse 11. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. Everything you have will be given enough time to mature. And if your vine of your life will not shed it to the ground before time. But don't expect a lot of maturity and a lot of prosperity in your life if you're not willing to commit yourself fully and 100% unto God. Take advantage of what God is offering you today. And look at verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Wrapping all this up now because our time is gone. One of the greatest achievements that I am in the midst of trying to achieve is that the biggest compliment you could ever give me today is this. It's not because I've got a new suit on with a vest. It's not that I got all that powder out of my hair of last night from being 70 years old. Which it felt good to be 70. It was good. It's not that, but for somebody to give me a compliment and say, you know what, brother? I see the hand of God in His blessings on you. That's the greatest compliment anyone could ever give me. Anything. To know that I have gotten to this point to where God in return said, I will bless your land, I will bless all that you have, delight. You will love and enjoy life because of my rich blessings upon you. And people will be able to see my hand on your life. You know, but I don't want you to ever think for 1 minute. You look back and you say, why should I start now? Because I have defrauded God for so long. Can I give you an example of that before we go? Consider the eagle whom comes down to the altar of sacrifice. And the coals are hot and red. They're ready for sacrifice. And the eagle comes down and gathers one of the coals and leaves. Not leaving one of the coals there that the life was expected to leave, but takes it with them up on high and keeps that coal for themselves. And way up high in the nest where the eagle is, the eagle lands there, and guess what happens? The sacrifice will still happen. But all that the eagle has is ruined, caught up, and perished. You don't defraud God when you hold back from your stewardship. You defraud yourself. And it causes a curse upon your life. And you miss out on the blessing There's some of you that God's probably never opened that window to. Crazy thought. Why has God set all this up? Why? Don't ask me. But I'll tell you this. I'm so glad that my God gives me a free will to do or not to do. Very, very quickly, a rock will never be rewarded nor punished. Why? Because the rock has to allow and has to agree to the law of gravity. It has no choice. The rock will always remain wherever it sits or wherever we cast it to, because the rock has to learn to live with the law of gravity with no choice. But God said, my people will not have to live that way. They will have a choice. If we had to love God, if we had to tithe, if we had to give our time and our talents, where would the love be in that? Where would the love be? We give and we do because we have a choice. We're not like the rock. We don't have to obey the law of gravity, because that rock will never be punished, nor will it ever be rewarded. But because we have been given the wonderful privilege of stewardship, there is a word, and it's called accountability. Because of that privilege, you and I have been given to give or not to give. We are able to be loved by God Almighty. The love would not be there if we had to love. It was a rule instead of a principle. But because we've been given that wonderful principle, God says, it's your life. I'm not going to force you, but I want you to live it for me. And if you'll do that, I'll bless you. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things going on in my life, and I say, Lord, that just has to be a curse. We were born with another curse of sin. We were able to break that by who? Jesus Christ. How can we break this curse? By giving to whom? Jesus Christ. All that I owe, all that I do. See, the great I am still is. Amen. The great I am still is. And all that He has given you and I is all Him. What will we do with what we've been given? That will define our Christian character. On that day of accountability, we stand before Him. Your name is called. He says, let me see what kind of steward of mine you are. Can't rewrite the past, but you have everything to do with the future. That's up to you. Will you stand with me this morning? We're not going to have an altar call. You stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to know today why nobody's looking around. That there's a God who bought you with a price. You've been paid for. And when the bottom line is read, it will say something like this. Did I give back to the one who purchased me? Or did I take my life and live it recklessly? Every one of us in here today want to be happy. We want to be blessed. We don't want no curses in our life. But I'll tell you, friend, just because we always do what God asks us to do doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be mountaintop. Because before you can get to the top of the mountain, you've got to go through the valley. But just remember, He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He will bless you according to your word and what you do for Him. Today, let us pray. Father, thank You for this congregation. Thank You for their patience. Thank You for their willingness to hear the Word of God. Lord, and thank You today for their willingness to serve You and to always look to higher planes in their life. Father, may You be with us as we leave this place today. May all that we do and say bring honor and glory to Your name. And may You be with us as we leave this place. Say it is